Our summertime study of the 23rd Psalm is swiftly coming to a close, as we have now reached the final verse of our psalm. Next week, we're going to put a wrap on this series, and then we're going to be heading in a very different direction for the fall. Psalm 23:6 is the benediction of sorts of this psalm, the final words of blessing here in the Shepherd Psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What stands out to me right away in this line, goodness and mercy, goodness and love, to follow the translation of the New International Version, are two elements that are so absolutely central to the character of our good and gracious God, to who God reveals Himself to be in the Scriptures. That's why this morning I wanted to turn to Exodus 33 and 34, the theological center of the book of Exodus, according to my teacher Jim Bruckner. This is where God makes Himself known to Moses, expanding and expounding upon His name, I am who I am, hiding Moses in the cleft of the rock and revealing His glory not in power or might, not in omniscience or omnipotence, but in His goodness and mercy and steadfast love. And so I want to pause this morning over each of these two words today, goodness and mercy. And then we'll conclude with a look at one final word from this verse, follow. We start with goodness. The Hebrew word for good or for goodness is tov. You might recognize the word from the modern Jewish or Yiddish expression mazel tov, good luck. Tov is a little word that makes its presence felt immediately in the biblical story. Right away, in Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, and seven times He pronounces them good, very good. Tov often stands in stark contrast to its opposite, ra, bad or evil. As in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Moses says, see, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Therefore, choose life. Or Genesis 50, where Joseph reflects on his experience with his brothers who had sold him into slavery. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. Good describes God's blessing of His people. Psalm 103:5 says, He satisfies you with good as long as you live. In Psalm 27, the psalmist looks forward to seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And Psalm 85 says, the Lord indeed will give what is good. Our land will yield its harvest. Most importantly, God Himself is described as good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. The Lord is good, and His love endures forever. It's a statement that takes on an almost creedal status in the Old Testament. It's a frequent refrain throughout the Psalms and the prophets. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses asks for a glimpse of God's glory. And did you notice how the Lord responds? The Lord's reply does not once mention the word glory, but He says instead, I will show you my goodness. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, God says, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. God knew that what Moses and the people needed was not a demonstration of His power or majesty. They had seen all that in the Exodus from Egypt. But what they needed was an assurance of His character. Terence Fretheim writes that it was more important to know what kind of a God this is than it was to see God. God is good. This is His nature, and His glory is revealed in His goodness. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Our second word this morning is mercy, or as the New International Version translates it, love. The Hebrew word is chesed. It's one of the most important terms in the Old Testament, on par with and overlapping in meaning with grace in the New Testament. This is God's steadfast love, his loving kindness. It's notoriously difficult to capture all the shades of the meaning of this word in translation. Chesed speaks strongly of relationship. This is God's covenant love, his faithful, committed love. Walter Brueggemann defines chesed as tenacious fidelity. Tenacious fidelity in a relationship. Jim Bruckner calls it unrelenting love, or pursuing love. Like grace, it cannot be earned. It cannot be lost. God's chesed is abundant and eternal. By it, he rescues his people from danger. He sustains life and establishes justice. Chesed is the first word in dealing with sin and in salvation for God's people. And it is the central term of God's self-revelation in Exodus 34. When God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming his name, saying, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is an affirmation of faith in the goodness and love of God that is repeated throughout the Old Testament again and again in a variety of contexts. In the Psalms, celebrating God's character and forgiveness of sin. In prayers of lament and complaint, reminding God of who he said he is and calling on him to act. Even arguing with God about it in the prophets, Jonah and Nahum. God's chesed is the only term used more than once in these verses. And it's set up as a counterpoint to God's wrath. Remember, in this context, Moses is interceding with God not to abandon his people in the wake of the incident with the golden calf, when they turned aside to idols. And Moses called on God to fulfill his promises and go with his people to the promised land. And so this moment of self-revelation where God passes in front of Moses proclaiming his name and his goodness and his love comes as a word of assurance that whereas God's judgment and wrath is limited in scope, it is not a continuous aspect of his nature, his love, his chesed, endures forever. And that is what ultimately will define his relationship with his people. There's one final word I need to visit this morning in this verse. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me, the psalmist says. Follow in Hebrew is radaf, to pursue or to chase. Hebrew scholar John Goldengay says that follow is a watered-down translation of this word. The word is so much more energetic. Several weeks ago, you might remember, we sang of God's reckless love, the love that chases me down and fights till I'm found, saying that there's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down or lie you won't tear down coming after me. And that is how God's mercy and goodness pursue and chase us all the days of our life. In the words of Rabbi Harold Kushner, not only will goodness and mercy accompany me and bless my life, they will run after me and find me wherever I am. Goodness and mercy are neither earned nor achieved. We do not have to work to find them, Kushner says. They will find us. He tells the story of a rabbi who once stopped a member of his congregation in the street. And he asked, whenever I see you, you are always in a hurry, always rushing somewhere. What are you running after all the time? And this man replied, I'm running after success, I suppose. Running after prosperity, running to make a good living. And his rabbi replied, that's a good answer if you assume that all those rewards are out there ahead of you, trying to elude you, and you have to run hard to catch up to them. But what if those rewards are behind you, looking for you, but they can never find you because you're running away from them? What if, he says, God has all sorts of wonderful gifts that he wants to give you, but you're never home when he comes looking for you, so he can't deliver them? Kushner explains that there are some blessings that will only be ours if we stop chasing them and let them come to us. When we stop chasing and sit still. The writer of Psalm 23 believes that the world is teeming with God's goodness and mercy. That these things are abundant and close at hand and will surely find their way into our lives if we let them. For our shepherd is defined by goodness and mercy. Psalm 100 says, the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. He satisfies us with good. He restores us in his love. Surely in his care, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Amen.